Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A prominent social worker whose testimony has helped separate foster children from their birth families has now been accused of peddling junk science. And she said to reporters that, in fact, an investigation into her work has prompted self-examination, prompted her to be more honest with herself. For decades, Diane Baird has been an expert witness in trials that determine who has custody of children, their foster parents, who start to feel an attachment, or their birth families, even when those families have been identified by officials as safe. Well, now under scrutiny from reporters at The New Yorker and ProPublica, and during questioning from a lawyer in a deposition, Diane Baird says her methods are completely unscientific. And this is all calling into question not just the outcomes of trials she's been involved with, but the very purpose of family court. And it also questions the major institution Diane Baird is affiliated with, the University of Colorado. Eli Hager is a reporter with ProPublica. He joins us now. Eli, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Eli, remind us, foster care is supposed to be temporary, and family, birth family, or relatives are thought to be the end goal of foster care, to get them back, to reunify them?
Right. Under federal law and laws in all 50 states, the primary objective of foster care is for it to be temporary. In other words, for the child to be returned home to the child's birth parents, if it's safe to do so and the parents have completed their treatment plan, or second best, to identify a birth family member, like a grandmother, for example, to place that child with in order to preserve that child's sense of identity and family heritage.
Well, this has been upended by a lot of things, but you write one of those is a need for adoption and foster families, kind of blurring the line between what should be fostering and their need and their want to adopt. But also, this is happening, it seems, because of people like Diane Baird. She calls herself an attachment expert, and she also claims to practice something called the Kemp protocols. What are each of those?
Right. So an attachment expert is somebody who comes in and is often hired by foster parents, or in some cases by other officials, and testifies to the fact that the foster parents are too attached to the child for the child to be returned back to birth family, as is supposed to be the goal of the foster system. And the Kemp Center is a branch of the University of Colorado. It's been around for 50 years, and it's considered the nation's leading academic institute focused on child welfare, and that's where Diane Baird got her start.
Well, and so the Kemp Center, just to be clear, at the University of Colorado, has done things that people within the field commend. They were behind mandated reporters, people who were charged with reporting if they thought children were being abused, for instance. But what have they said about the Kemp protocols?
So the Kemp protocol is something that Diane Baird and a few of her colleagues developed in the 1980s and 90s. Diane Baird has admitted that it was never published. It's remained pretty much unchanged since the 1980s. It doesn't have validity or reliability. The Kemp Center, despite all of this, has refused to publicly disavow the protocol, instead privately asking Diane Baird to stop using the Kemp name and telling ProPublica that this type of methodology is not best practice in these cases, but not going so far as to disavow it or to ask her to cease and desist.
Well, this is both heartbreaking and enraging because she has been practicing it. And you start off with one case. It's a child who has visitation rights with the grandmother. Those visits seem to go beautifully. The grandmother seems to be showering this child with love, wants this child to be with her. And yet enter Diane Baird, who posits this attachment theory. It's in a deposition with a lawyer representing that grandmother that we hear Diane answer questions about her theories. What did she say?
So she admitted in the protocol that she had been hired by the foster parents and was being paid by the foster parents, who had heard about her from other foster parents. She also admitted that her protocol was unscientific. She admitted that she had no knowledge of the child's cultural heritage. This is a child of biracial heritage. And part of the reason in these cases for wanting to keep children with their birth families is to preserve those cultural ties. Mm. And also that she had based her evaluation on less than 2 hours of meeting with the foster parents, who again were her clients. And she had not met the grandmother or read any case documents in the case. She just concluded that the foster parents should get to keep the child permanently. But Diane Baird would argue that rupturing the attachment of any child under 3 years old is going to cause long-term harm. So if a child has become attached to their foster parents, then by definition, you know, returning them to their birth family would be, quote unquote, breaking an attachment, which she says will cause long-term problems. That's what she would argue. So there is still some substance to the idea that this could affect children.
Well, we should note, and you do, that there are others like Dorothy Roberts, who's a law professor and sociologist at the University of Pennsylvania, who's, as you write, a leader of the movement to abolish the whole child welfare system because it's widespread separation of Black families in particular, that they would argue that the most important thing is the reunification with a birth family and with a cultural identity.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think a lot of the social science research suggests that kids who grow up with their own families end up with more sibling connections, more extended family connections, fewer mental health and behavioral problems when they become adolescents, and a greater sense of self and of their cultural identity when they're adults. So these are the reasons why the law gives preference to kin, to biological family in these decisions, and attachment experts like Diane Baird are kind of arguing in the face of those realities.
And some of the other things ProPublica found are so damning. She sometimes just copies and pastes past evaluations onto new ones. And this idea of hiring someone, and so you're paying them, so it would seem that they would want to rule in your favor. This is called intervener strategy. Talk about that.
Right. So ProPublica, along with The New Yorker last October, we wrote about the growing nationwide phenomenon of foster parents intervening in family court cases. This is in the context of adoption plummeting. In other contexts, international adoption has become extremely difficult. Private adoption has become extremely expensive. And so there's this plan C, kind of, which is to adopt from foster care. And one of the things that foster parents can do if they want to keep a child or to adopt a child is to, quote unquote, intervene in the case, which gives them the full rights of a full party to the case. So they can start filing motions, calling witnesses, cross-examining witnesses. And they do these things to argue that they're extremely attached to the child and the child to them. And that therefore the child should not be reunited with the child's birth family, even if the county or the state agency is saying that they found a birth family member who's a safe placement, and so they're kind of counteracting that goal of the foster system by intervening.
Right. Well, and you write that after ProPublica published this article with The New Yorker, you started to hear from faculty at the Kemp Center, people saying this was a gut punch to read. It's a tragedy. It diminishes all the good work we've done and continue to do. You know, what does the birth grandmother say about this acknowledgement that this is junk science, and yet, lest you leave us with her, it's kept her from her granddaughter?
Right. And it should be noted that in these cases, the grandmother is often, you know, very close with the child. Technically, birth parents have more rights than grandparents as the actual parents. But in this and many other cases, the grandparents are visiting frequently. They've developed a bond themselves with the child, and they desperately want to keep these children in their families, and especially if they have Native American or Hispanic heritage, like many people do in Colorado. They want to hold on to some of those cultural traditions and heritage. So all of those things were lost by the result of this case, which was heavily influenced by Diane Baird's recommendation. Although versions of this exist around the country with foster parents hiring attachment experts to make some of these same arguments.
And again, just for people thinking, well, shouldn't the children's safety be the biggest concern? This is in cases where the birth family has been designated, or a birth relative has been designated by officials, the safe place. And it's when these pseudoscientists intervene that changes. Eli Hager, reporter for ProPublica, will link you to their reporting at herenow.org. Eli, thank you.
Thanks for having me.